and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Sunny. Today, we will hear a talk on steps 4 and 5 with a focus on resentments. Step 4 made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourself. Step 5 admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Please give a warm welcome to Teresa F. from Los Angeles, California. Welcome, Teresa.
Hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Teresa. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober because of a loving God. Thank you for inviting me to the meeting. Welcome, anybody. Welcome, anybody who's new. Thank you, old timers, for my life. My sobriety date is around the corner. Oh my gosh, you guys. Oh, it's not here yet, but I just felt emotional. My sobriety date is March 29, 1990. Oh my goodness, y'all. Ooh, it just hit me. I still got another 24 hours, but I just got emotional about that. Okay. What? I'm like, what? I'm always like, what is happening? I guess it hit me like, 34 years ago, I was on a Greyhound bus heading to California. Didn't know what the heck was going to happen to me and what was happening in my life. Oh my goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Oh, so I have the honor, I'm going to do focus on resentments on step 4 and talk about step 5. So don't get into no sex and fear. Okay, shucks, no. All right. So I'm always uncomfortable and this is awkward, but here it goes. By now, because I'm only getting into 4s, hopefully by now I have made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I've recognized that I am powerless. I'm hoping, and I got hope from you, that I can be restored to sanity, and all I do is make a decision. And after making that decision, I always think about this old timer. She used to always say, I remember I went to her once, I said, I think I'm stuck on step 3. She was like, you can't be stuck on step 3. Step 3 says decision. If you ain't made a decision, you're still trying to come to believe. I still hear her in my head. You can't be stuck. I was like, oh, snap. Because once I made the decision, I need to immediately launch into vigorous action. This is not a pondering situation. And certainly I appreciate the language of the big book. I'm not sure if I come from building companies. You know, I did that even though, you know, I know how to build a company. And there's a language, there's a few things that it says in there that kind of prompt to prepare me to do this journey, right? And it's like, no good business can hardly be a success if it doesn't take stock, right? I have to look at my goods and trade, right? See what's salvageable, which isn't. And it always reminds me, and I use the example too, I'm very visual of, I don't know if you ever seen Tabitha take over, or the restaurant guy that comes in to take over the restaurant. And it's similar to that. I don't know. I identify with an inventory because really the business is failing. It's collapsing. It's as though I have a supermarket and I've got what do you call it? All my stuff has expiration on it and it's just falling apart. And I'm wondering why nobody's coming. And somebody comes in to show me what is wrong with this business and why it's collapsing. And this is the journey I'm about to take in. It says to me, selfish and self-centered is the root of all my troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear. I heard I'm blocked from the sunlight of the spirit. And so I have to really see, how do I, this is an invitation of taking a look. I don't know if it's because I'm hard-headed, because I can't really see the need for God in my life. Out of desperation, I'm willing to make a decision to turn my will, right, over to the care of and protection. I've always felt unsafe. I don't know what's going on in my life, and alcohol always gave me guidance and supported me through and to navigate through life. But now I'm about to be introduced to this new power, right, this new idea. But in order to do that, I have to see how I'm in the way and I've been playing God, even though I didn't know I was. So I'm about to gather evidence, and we have to look at the stock and trade. Let's see what's going on with Teresa Incorporated. What's happening with Teresa Incorporated, and why has this business folded? Let's take a look, shall we? And it's to me, it was an invitation. I know a lot of people struggle in this area. They're like terrified of inventory. I don't, that wasn't my experience. There's a paragraph there that tells me the necessity is because I'm blocked. And now we're about to get unblocked. And in order to get unblocked, I first have to look. And all I'm doing here is looking. There was a paragraph in this book with this inventory process. Sometimes I don't know why, but certain things hit you a certain way. And I come from a lot of abuse. But it was something there that says we squander the hours that was so valuable. And we actually allow people, in a sense, to kill us. There was something about if I let one more day go by, harboring these things that are killing me, which you call resentments, I'm giving permission to everyone and everything that has poisoned the well in my life. And I don't know why I found that empowering. And I was like, you mean to tell me that if I take a look at what is blocking me from the sunlight of the spirit, that I'll be free from the bondage of not only alcohol, but of self, and that I will find freedom and freedom from the compounds of the insanity of my mind that dominates me, so that I can open up the channel to tap into this power? Where's the pen and paper? That's how I was. Where is the pen and paper? Let's rock and roll. And I appreciate you give me the instruction. I don't have to wonder how I do this. I don't have to try to figure out how you did it. They even give me like an example. I mean, one time I forgot where Ralph and I were, and we, I think it was Amsterdam, because we, whatever. And we were going back and forth about these cheat sheets. You know what I'm saying? Because people give out these cheat sheets. And I was like, why? You got an example in the big book. Like, why do you need a cheat sheet? I think it's clearly written. You know what I mean? What, you don't know how to copy and paste, or you don't know how to. I was like, but then we finally got to the end of that. Like, you know what? People just get to do what they need to do so they can get it done. And it was like, oh, okay. So if you knew you need a cheat sheet, do a cheat sheet. It's in the big book if you don't want that. My whole thing is I just needed to do it. And so what is this business about resentment? And I'm going to take a look. And you give me an outline on how to do it. Now, to me, I saw it as a hit list, perhaps because I'm a mafia girl. I tell people, you ain't never had a hit list before. Like, I think it's quite simple. I don't know what the secret is, but I remember that I, anybody who was willing to listen to me about the grievances or the gripes that I had about other people, I was telling you. So there is no secret here. And so all I had to do was write down the names. I did column by column. I didn't go across, because if you go across, you can get stuck. I wrote down all these names, and I was really surprised of certain names that came up, but I didn't question it. I continue to do that. Just write, I don't know. I just write them. Let's see what happens. And that bullet point, I get out of the narrative, because I can get stuck on the narrative. You tell me fancy or real. Doesn't really matter. Just write it down. And then what the first eye awakening is what it affected. I didn't know something was really affecting me, and I didn't have that language. I like how I think it's Mickey Bush who says, I don't go to the bar and say, excuse me, bartender, I need a drink because I'm feeling a little bit of low self-esteem and insecurity, and all of my ambitions have been attacked. Ultimately, when I take a look at what it's affected, I remember writing self-esteem so many times. I called my sponsor and I was like, it's no wonder I don't have any. My self-esteem has been attacked for so long. It's no wonder I don't have any. These are my basic living instincts that have been threatened. And I didn't even know that's why I remained disturbed or was disturbed. What an eye-opening experience. These are tools designed for living. It's not homework. It's not exercises. I need to see. And I didn't know that when you say something or do something, it bothers me. Of course it does. It bothers my self-esteem, my ambitions, my pride, my personal relationships, my pocketbook, my security, my sex relations. I didn't have that language, but I was like, it's no wonder I'm so disturbed. These are basic living necessities. But if you knew the secret is not even in that column, the secret is in the fourth column. The one place that I never even thought to venture to. I never asked myself those questions. Why would I possibly ask myself those questions? I tend to stop in the narrative of the state of victimization, right? The state of victim consciousness, which gives me more reason to hate me, hate you, and hate the world, and then figure out how I can manage and control it to conform to what I think is right. But I have to pray first. I know how many times I've heard people go, "What prayer?" There is a prayer. I actually, in order for me to resolutely take the focus off of all that I think is the problem, to get down to the root of the real problem, I have to do the sick man prayer. There's a spiritually sick person, as you know, as I am too. God save me from being angry. Sometimes when I'm listening to people sharing the inventory, I can tell they didn't do the prayer because it seems like I'm still go back to the resentment. I don't know what that is, but you can hear it. You know what I'm saying? I can hear it. The saltiness, the bitterness is like still there. I'm like, did you pray? Something happens when I pray. Now, inventory is mine, not theirs. I know it's semantic. Some people say my part, where I'm at fault. That's another thing we go back on. I guess it's semantics. You can say part. I used to be real adamant. Again, that's another one of our little conversations. I'm like, it's not say part nowhere, you know. But you know what? Truth of the matter is, whatever you got to do, just answer it. For me, I can't use the word part because I love to leave somebody else on the hook. And if I say part, you have a part. And for some reason, I still hold on to the fact that you owe me something or you have, you know what I mean? You got something to do with this situation. But nonetheless, so I need to look at where I'm at fault. But I appreciate that I don't have to sit there and beat myself up with a baseball bat. Here is where I actually put down the baseball bat. I'm not beating up on you, I'm not turning it on me. I want to see where I've been playing God because it don't work. And I didn't even know I was playing God. And recently, quiet as it's kept, I've noticed who was playing God. What God have I been playing? But that's a little side note. Because if you think about it, the God I come to know today, don't be like manipulating people and selfish and beating up on them and condemning them. But anyway, so I don't even know what God I was playing. But nonetheless, I was playing an imposter of God. And I'm driven by later, you're going to tell me they're called defects of character, but you tell me, where have I been selfish? Where am I self-seeking? Where am I dishonest? Where am I afraid? And when I was new, I had to look up those words. I don't even know what they meant. Well, selfishness is what's my own interest? It's not rocket science. What was my own interest? Self-seeking. If I got what I wanted, what would I receive? Where was I dishonest? Sometimes dishonesty for me is it didn't happen. It shouldn't have happened. That's dishonest. It happened. My first inventory, I had 98% was the harm that people caused me. I didn't want you to rape me. And if you didn't rape me, I would have had my innocence and my virginity. I'm dishonest because I kept saying it shouldn't have happened. Should never happen. I did something to cause it or whatever. And I'm terrified. And I find that I'm terrified about a bunch of things. And I realize that it's an evil corroding thread. I love the language. It runs to the fabric of the existence of my life. I mean, I find it like a Telemundo. I'm very Latina. I like descriptive words. I'd be like, oh my God, that's intense. So now, ultimately, and I don't get to talk about the fear, but now when I've had an opportunity to write down all these grosser handicaps, these words are just fascinating. I get to see my makeup. I'm doing statistics, right? And right now I'm gonna have an exam in the morning on hypothesis. I have to relate everything to the program. I do that with movies, everything. So I'm like, so the hypothesis is, am I an alcoholic? HO1 equals mule. Am I an alcoholic? Am I not an alcoholic? I don't know. We have to go through the data so that we can see. And that's how I see inventory. Let's go through the data, shall we? And let's gather up some evidence and to determine, have I been playing God? Have I not been playing God? When it's all said and done, I don't know about you, but when I look at that fourth column, I'd be like, I think I've been playing God. And it ain't working because I'm still pissed off at you. I have yet to figure out how to get revenge. And if I have been talking to God, giving him my mission statement every day, he is not following the instructions on how he should disintegrate you. So ultimately, it's no wonder my business is failing. Now, it doesn't just stop there. Now that I have all of this in front of me, what do I do with it? I need to pass through the archway of freedom. I cannot be stuck on either what I think you think about me, what I think you should have done differently. I can't get stuck on all that I've done to try to manage and control all the transgressions against me that I thought were against me. Now, at this point, I'm realizing that perhaps I was the perpetrator of some of it. I perpetuated it. I set the stage. I participated. The instigator. I didn't even know that. Real quick, I'm always used this as an example. My first inventory, I had the name Maria Collado. She was from my grammar school. I thought that was very odd. I was like, Maria Collado? That's weird. And then, and when I got to the second column, I put, she called me stupid. I was like, well, this is ridiculous. You mean to tell me I've been hanging out drinking behind Maria Collado calling me stupid? No. Come on now. Are you serious? I look at what it affected, all the areas, right? My self-esteem, da-da-da. Then I prayed for her. And when I got to the fourth column, this blew me away. Maria, what? Where am I selfish? Well, I didn't want her. What did I say? I didn't want her to call me that. If she didn't call me that, people wouldn't have laughed at me. Were you dishonest? Where was I dishonest? I punched Maria Collado. I kicked her in the, actually, I kicked her and I punched her in the groin. And that's why she called me stupid. Do you know that I didn't, I'm telling you, typical alcoholic, I eliminated that part of the incident. I left that out of the incident report. I only put in the incident report what she did to me, but I never put on there what I did to her to have her call me stupid. Wow. She didn't just randomly call me stupid. That's like my nephews when they would get time out and they would call me and be like, Dad put me in time out. I'd be like, what happened? I don't know. He just put me in time out. Oh, he just randomly was walking around the house and just got an itch and said, you're going in time out. You know what I mean? You did something. So I end up discovering that as well. Man, what an eye-opening experience, inventory. I have been able to utilize this to the best of my ability in every area of my life. I think it is the greatest tool for me to use to open up the blockage of this connection with this power that I need so desperately because the old power isn't working anymore. And the old power was alcohol. And that's why you told me you're going to introduce me to a new director, a new employer, right? I have a new fire. There's a reason why I believe it says the word new is because the old one was alcohol. My dependency and reliance was on it. And I need a different relationship with another power. And this power is quite interesting. I appreciate that it needs my will and my permission to move forward, and that this power would not shame me, embarrass me, rob me of everything out of my life. It's going to actually empower me and give me my brain to use. And so I was fascinated with the higher power you guys had. I wanted to know this power. But it doesn't stop there. You know, the answer to one step is in the next step. And so, although I've gained this awareness, I need to share it. I need to share it and I have to tell someone. And this isn't something new or innovative. Through ancient times, someone's always had to talk to someone else. Even a priest needs another priest, a therapist needs another therapist. that I have to tell myself and God and another human being the exact natures of my wrongs, not my rights, my wrongs. I will say this, one of the most interesting inventories that I've done, and I've done it a few times since. The second column from the name of, after the name of the person, are defects of character. It's no longer the offense. You know what I mean? It's specifically what you did to me. I realize the disturbance is the defect of character that I arrive from what happened to me. And then the very thing that I'm disturbed about, the very thing I'm disturbed about is the very thing that I'm doing too. That's been very interesting. But you know what I'm saying? I'm resentful at your selfishness. Well, I'm being selfish too. So what? Fascinating. But now I get to go talk about my wrongs. What I have found in my first inventory, and sometimes when I'm doing an inventory for the first time with a new man or woman, is that really what I'm helping them with is they're actually their fourth. Because it was new to me, I left a lot of things blank and I didn't get stuck and trip on that. And then when I met with my sponsor, my fifth, they helped me to really finish my fourth. That's how I've always seen it. And it helped folks when I'm working with them of, not that I got to have you look at things or do your inventory for you, but maybe you might not have considered this because it's not a language that we use every day. It's not a way in which we do self-examination and just help you to see. You know what I'm saying? Let's look at that of where you might have been selfish. But really, I'm talking about my wrongs. Ideally, the way it's really written, I believe, is that I really call, whether it's my sponsor, I sit down, prepare for a long talk, right? I sit down and I tell you, it says the exact natures of my wrongs. And the exact natures of my wrongs are my fourth column, where I get to say, this is where I've been selfish. This is where I'm self-seeking. This is where I'm dishonest and afraid. I tell on myself. Because all along, I've been talking about you, but I ain't never talked about me. And now I get to own it. I use my nephews a lot. Of course I would. But it's almost like telling them, and my brother used to tell them that, when I show up to school or summer camp, if something went wrong there, you need to tell me first before they tell me. I can support you if I know. See what I'm saying? So they're so used to that, like if I go pick them up from school or summer camp, they'd be waiting outside. They'd be like, okay, what happened was, you know what I'm saying? This guy was messing with me. It really pissed me off. And then I hit him. You know, I'm like, okay, we could work with that. But what I can't work with is have someone come up to me and tell me everything you did. And you're looking at me like, I ain't do nothing. That we're going to have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? So I need to tell on myself. There's a freedom that takes place. Now, it tells me that I'm going to be delighted. It doesn't say I'm ecstatic and I'm jumping through the tulips. It tells me I will be delighted when I'm done. I've had some sponsees I crack up after he finished doing a inventory. He went to the bathroom and started throwing up. And he came back out and I was like, yay! So a lot of times, get that out. A lot of times when folks struggle to do it, I'm always like, I do the movie Amistad, you know, let us be free. Let us be free. Nobody's seen Amistad. Let us be free. I just identify with movies. There's something happens when I tell on myself. That even happens when things are happening sometimes where I turn around and be like, I'm being selfish. You know what I mean? I'm not being honest right now. Or I go and tell somebody what I did or what I was about to do. I think that whether we use the term disease or darkness, I really believe it cannot live in the light. It just cannot survive in the light. And when I shine the light on it, it begins to help to dissipate it. Because really, just like Marcy told me that there was a beautiful light inside of me and we had to clean house for that light to shine. And I believed her. And here's where she was telling me it was going to happen. That if I'm willing to go to a place that I never ventured to go, I always went outside of myself. I certainly never went in. I never went in to see what is really going on with Teresa. Not what's wrong with Teresa. I'm not flawed and defective and damaged. I came from a world and verbiage that told me that. And here in this particular, in these steps, all the steps really, but in this step is where I believe I start shifting from shame to guilt. I learned that shame says something's wrong with you. And there is a difference between the two of them. To be ashamed, I came to you full of shame. Something is wrong with me. I am damaged goods. But in this process of inventory and sharing it with someone, it shifts it because it says, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not a bad person, Teresa. That's how I feel the big book talked to me. You're not a bad person. We're an ill people, but you're not bad. The issue here has nothing to do with even the fact that you are resentful or that you do have fears. That is not what we're saying here. We're not saying you should not have them. It should not have happened. What is wrong with you for feeling that or thinking that? What it's saying to me is we need to show you how you go about solving it isn't working. Thank you. How you go about solving it isn't working, and you can't see that unless we go through a series. You know, I'm also around people who are not in the program, very healthy. I know you try to say normies, everybody needs the program. I met some people that don't really need the program. I mean, we can always make use of the 12 steps in someone's life, but I met some really healthy people. The reason why I say they're healthy is that they actually do this process, but they do it so seemingly and normally. You know, you ever met, they call them normies? I have friends that they'd be like, well, that's a bit selfish of myself. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, I apologize. I think that was I was being a bit dishonest and unfair and inconsiderate. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, you didn't have to go write it down. You didn't have to call somebody and help them work you through it. You just did that like that. And I think that this step is an opportunity in which I can begin to practice and let go of the baseball bat, and I move from shame to guilt. So shame says something's wrong with me. And guilt says, I've done something wrong. And there's a solution in guilt. To me, there is no solution in shame. If I'm flawed and defective and damaged, I'm damaged goods. There is no point on moving through any other steps. I might as well just wither away and die and live out an alcoholic, torturous life. But the freedom comes knowing I can do something about this stuff. I can now see and have a clear examples in my life, my own data, not because you say it. I can now see the necessity of this relationship with this power. That everything I've done to try to manage, and I'm just a little girl that wants to be loved. You know what I mean? I want to be loved and accepted and have joy and connection with others. And this explains to me where's the disconnect. Need to tap into this source of power. Need to be able to let the surge of this energy be able to flow and run through me and then, you know, like protrude outside of me. How else is that going to happen if I don't see what's keeping, you know what I mean? What has it unplugged? The disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. It is sneaky. It waits for me to rest on my laurels to keep secrets. I find the disease of alcoholism, man, it's such an insidious disease. It's in my mind where I always gets me with that peculiar mental twist, the very mind that puts me in the situation, tells me it can get me out of the situation, but every plot and strategy is to actually keep me in the situation, but have me not think I'm in the situation or that I don't have anything to do with it, but I can also figure out how to stay out of it, but yet I stay in it. Now, I don't know if that scares any of you, but that scares the heck out of me. I was like, yo, that's scary. And I don't even notice it. No. So this is the tool that's going to begin to like, right? Take the plug out. And so I could see me. And I could see where God is necessary. A new power, a new employer, a new director. I become the agent, right? I'm the child so that I can have the protection and care. I believe God cannot take my will from me.
I know I hear folks, I took my will back. I could never give it away. It is the one thing that I have born with this thing called the will. The 12 steps help me to redirect my will. I have been self-will run riot, run amok. So I make a decision. I finally get the power of choice back to tap into this source of power that doesn't rob me of my will like alcohol did and my integrity. This is a character building, ego smashing process. I can't get rid of my ego altogether because if not, then I won't take a bath and get dressed and go out in life and, and tackle it. Thank you. But I am so grateful for these steps. If you're new, you haven't done it in a while, struggling with it, we can do daily, quarterly, yearly. 12 and 12 breaks it down further. I invite you. I've always, I don't like step nine, but I'm down to always do an inventory. And I do it so much so I can avoid step nine. So anyway, if that helps, I will cover my mouth. And I will do an inventory in a second, just so I won't have to come back to you and tell you I messed up. There's so many more examples, but thank you all so much for allowing me to share. I hope that helped. It got me excited. Thank you so much. It's like a one-night stand. I don't know if it was good for you, but it was good for me. Anyway.